Good evening.
I thank the Lord for saving my soul, and I thank him too for giving me the opportunity to work in his vineyard. And also, I thank Fairview Memorial Church for contributing to our coming to the school this year. Thank you for your support and your prayers for the work back home in Ghana. You have been a help to us, and we are grateful to you for all that you do for us. I always remember this place, and there's no way that I can forget. I remember Brother Mike Collins was the first person who bought my ticket for me in the year 1999 to come to the minister's school. And also, my first time in Indiana, Brother Jerry Miller was the person who picked me at the airport. And now he's here. So I always remember all those things, and I'm grateful to the Lord for the brethren here. The kind of love and the kind of hospitality that you show to us when we come here, we appreciate all of it very well. My church is Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Ghana, West Africa. This church was organized in the year 1997 through the efforts of Brother Bryson and with the authority from Union Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Georgia. And four churches have come out from Mount Zion Church. And we are grateful also to the brothers here who always come to Ghana at the fall to help us with our revivals. And last year, they came, and I'm happy to tell you that after the revival with all the five churches, 38 people got saved. And Mount Zion had the greater share. We had 23 people saved at our revival. And I'm also happy to tell you that all the 23 had been baptized and have joined the church. We are privileged to have people visiting Mount Zion every Sunday. And just like the Lord saw the need to save 23 people, there are so many people still visiting. So we need your prayers for that effort, that the Lord will continue to save people to his own glory. I remember the first time that I contacted Brother Bryson and he set foot on the soils of Ghana, I told him that I want you to help us so that we can also help our people. And I'm grateful to the Lord that through him, an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church was organized. And now, four have come out of Mount Zion, and we are five churches back home in Ghana. After the revival at the five churches, another brother from here, Brother Phil Creasy from West Virginia, also came. And when he came, he had revivals with all the five churches. And at the end of it all, eight people got saved in addition. And after the revival with the churches, he told us the reason why he came. He had been burdened all the years that he had been there to go to the northern part of our country. And that place is mostly unreached. It is a kind of a place where there are many Muslims, but we have churches around that place. But as you know, they are deceiving the people. Accepting Christ, take a decision, raise up your hand, and all those things. And some of them are also adult worshippers. So it was good that the Lord burdened him to come so that we will also have the opportunity to go to that place. And I went with him to that place through an old-time friend. He is a Southern Baptist preacher, and he has been there with his group or church for so many years. And he was privileged to see us having a revival, our revivals in the year 2003. He was visiting one of our deacons, who is a relation. And when he came, we were having the revivals at that week. And one young man from the friend that he was visiting was burdened or convicted. He came to the altar. He didn't get saved. He went back home. He couldn't sleep because he was burdened, and he came out of his room to the sitting room, started to pray and cry. His father heard his cries and prayers, and he came out. He knelt down beside him to pray. His mom also came and did the same thing. And this man who was visiting also heard the noise. He came out of his room. He saw what was happening. So he also knelt down. Maybe that was his first time in doing that. And they pray alongside. And at 12:05 a.m., this young man got saved. They were all happy. And this man, I think that was his first time of seeing somebody saved through a heartfelt way. So he showed interest afterwards to be our kind. But we tried. I went to his place, visited him one time for 3 days. We went to the capital of that place called Tamale to try whether we can start something there. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But when Brother Flo came, we went to that place called Bupe, about 45 miles to the place where we are supposed to go. And we visited this man's church. That is a South Baptist Convention church. And we had a 1 week revival with them. And God saved 4 people, including the preacher's wife. So he was so happy that they decided not to let us go even to Tamale, but to continue. We continued for another 2 days, and all the 4 was what the Lord saved them. So we went with him to another pastor friend who is a principal of one of their seminaries at the north. This man also pastors a church which is in the compound of the seminary. And he has called 40 preachers of their churches to come to this school whilst the students are on vacation to have a kind of a modular course for these preachers. So Brother Phil Christy had the opportunity to preach to these preachers one time and also teach them on a Friday. And on Sunday of the said week, he preached twice at this pastor's church. And from the reaction that we saw, people had wanted to come to the altar. But unfortunately, they didn't allow us to do it in our way. They just came forward, they prayed some, but they went back to sit down. So after that, we went back to the hotel where him and the deacons of his church came, and we all sat down. And after talking about our belief and our practices, they agreed that we are on the right track and we are preaching the truth. So we spent a week, came back to my friend's church again and help them for another 2 days. But after the 2 days, the church who had been by themselves because of what they don't like from the convention told us that they want to go with us because they know that now is the time. They have been waiting for a long time for us to go along or to join us. So Mount Zion, my church, had adopted that mission. And we invited him and a friend who is a convicted Muslim preacher to come to our association meeting, which he did. And when they came, they had the opportunity to have a Sunday service with us. And they went back. After talking with them, the converted Muslim preacher also had decided to go along with us. And he went to his chair to tell them what he has now found. But the chair didn't want to leave with him. So they said they want to remain with the convention. And he said, then I'm living with my family. So he has decided to leave and come to us so that we will help him start a mission. So these are some of the opportunities and the open doors that the Lord has given to the churches in Ghana, to the northern part of our country. So we convert your prayers very well so that we will be able to, with the Lord's help, to go to these people, teach them, and preach to them for the Lord to help them. We have, Mount Zion has another mission at the capital, Accra. It was doing well until the brothers came and Brother Free Christy also came. I have to go there every fortnight to preach and to teach these people. We had already 7 people saved at this mission. But unfortunately, I couldn't go to the place for almost 2 months. And when I went back, all the others who were coming have stopped. And we decided to relocate to another community in Accra. And that is what Mount Zion had decided to do. We are praying that the Lord will help us to revive that mission once again. So your prayers is what we need. Help us pray so that the Lord's will be done in Accra. We have desired to have a church there every time because that is where our brothers land when they entered my country. And before they go to any other place, they will have chance to have service with the people who come into that mission. So pray for us that the Lord will help us. We are also privileged to have a high school just opposite Mount Zion Church. And because some of our members, young ones, attend that school, they are able to bring some of their friends to church every Sunday. So it has become a need that Mount Zion should have a school so that we can also feed this high school. So the church had made a decision to start a school using our church building, part of it, for the meantime. So we need your prayers on that effort too. School nowadays is different when we were young. We were studying Bible knowledge, that is BK. Now they study a kind of a program which involves Islamic religion. And I don't think our children need that, about to study about Muhammad and all those kind of things. So we are trying to set our own school so that we will teach them what God wants us to teach them. We should train the child the way he should go so that when they grow, they will not depart from it. So pray for us so that we can also do as the Lord has put in our hearts to start a school and help these children who are coming out. Because every time, Mount Zion will have about 60 kids coming to church. And if we deny these kids God's way, I don't think it will be good for us. So we are doing everything in our power to help our children back home. The Lord, while blessing my church and the other churches, has also been blessing my family. And I'm grateful to the Lord. My last born, or my baby, who was the only person who was not saved, God saved at the last 4. He will be 15 tomorrow. So pray alongside that he will continue to do what the Lord has saved him for. And thank God for my family. My eldest daughter got married when the brothers were there. And my second one, who is also a girl, 3 girls and 2 boys, is going to be married on the 10th. So when immediately I go back home, I will be making ready for another wedding. And I thank God for his blessings and his love to my family and my church and the churches back in Ghana. So that is in the Gifi. That is what is going on with our churches back home. The rest of the churches are doing well, except that there are some few financial problems because of what my country is going through. But we are praying that the Lord will visit us once again to take us through in all what we are trying to do for him. So pray for our churches so that they will be able to do whatever the Lord wants them to do. And that is the little report that I can say for now. And thank you. Tonight, I want to talk on what the Lord wants us to do as people, the saved and the unsaved. It happened in the time of the Israelites when Samuel, who was the judge and priest at that time, had to tell the people of Israel that if they want to be strong and victorious, they have to submit to God so that he will help them in all that they do. For there were some things that they were doing that was not right in the sight of the Lord. So he has to advise them and tell them what to do, because the Bible tells us to be humble before God so that he will lift us up. And I want to you all to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want to read from the 7th chapter and the first verse up 1 Samuel chapter 7. I want to read from the first verse to the 13th, first verse to the 10th verse. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eliezer, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kiriath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years that the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth
from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Bileam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord out of our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord tended with a great tender on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You can see from the reading that before salvation or before something good can come out to help a nation, there is a need of God's word preached, and people have to open their ears to listen so that they will be instructed. And this is what Samuel told the people of Israel. Because we could see from the second verse that there was a kind of a blackout with God and the people of Israel, because they were doing an abominable things in his sight. The Lord withdrew from the people of Israel, and for some years there was no fellowship, no blessings, and there was no usefulness with the people of Israel. They have backslided. They have gone back to the places that they have been visiting, Egypt and those places, and they were doing things that these people were doing when they were with them. So their heart had departed from God, and they were doing things on their own. And that is how sinners are. They don't know God. There is no kind of fellowship or anything with them. Though they will try to do things on their own, but to God, that is not what he wants. And for people who are Christians, people who are for Christ, if we do things that is not pleasing to God, and God backs back, what is the reason for it? Why will that thing be? And what will happen for God to maybe, or the Holy Spirit to be not to be grieved? What we do is some people will neglect reading God's word. They will stop reading God's word. They will also neglect private prayer. In our covenant, it tells us to have morning devotions and other things. But it may come to a time, because of work, because of kind of laziness, kind of trials and problems, some people will neglect private prayer completely. But if you stop praying as a Christian, then you are in trouble. Amen. There is not much that you can accomplish. The Bible tells us not to cease in praying. We have to pray every day. We have to take everything to the Lord in prayer. That is what God has told us. And because these people's heart has been departed from God, they have neglected from reading his word, studying his word, and they have neglected in private prayer. So there is another way that this thing can also happen. Some people will also neglect fellowshipping together or coming to church completely. And if you sit down and maybe consider, you can see that now that is what is happening to so many people. Some people have not maybe sit down to think about it. When we used to come, Wednesday churches were things of delight. You see people coming every Wednesday happily and just like having a fellowship meal. People will be happy to come and enjoy the meal before they come to the service. But now, few churches are having Wednesday services. When you come to Sunday morning, people will come. But Sunday night, few people will also attend. Amen. And what is this telling us? It's telling us that something is wrong somewhere. Amen. Maybe things are being done in this way. You could see that so many people have stopped, the churches, having Wednesday services. And some are also stopping having Sunday services, that Sunday night. It may be a time that we will also stop attending Sunday morning services. And that, what will that be? That means we are in trouble. And that is what was happening to the people of Israel. And when they did that, there was no joyfulness in their ways. Their joy of salvation was lost. They couldn't be happy as they used to be. When they come to church, they testify, they glorify God, they shout and do all those things. When your heart is withdrawn from God, there is no way that you can do all these things. You can't be happy when you come to church. So there was no joyfulness with these people. These people were restless. They were doing so many things to get satisfaction. And that is how sinners I know, that is how they are. They are trying to find other things so that they are doing other things so that they will be satisfied. They will think, when I get a house, a wife, a car, all these things, I will be happy. They will find all those things. And at the end of it all, he will still need something. Amen. Humans desires cannot be satisfied. You cannot be happy without the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the only person who will bring peace. He will bring satisfaction in your life. If you come to him, for him to save you, for him to help you, then you will be happy. And because people had just gone out from God, it was a kind of a bad example. I always use Lot as an example. When the angels went to the city of Sodom, after what happened, they told Lot, you and your family have to leave this place. We are going to destroy this place. You have to leave immediately. But Lot was lingering. He was wasting time. And I say that this is a bad example. The people may think, oh, look at Lot. He is saying that this place is going to be destroyed, but he is not in a hurry to leave this place. Why should we leave this place? If we tell the people that Jesus Christ is coming again to take his home, and we are not doing anything to show these people that Christ is coming maybe tomorrow or the next day, the people may be relaxing and thinking, oh, let us enjoy ourselves. We have plenty of time. Christ will not come any day near. Let us enjoy life. That is how the people of Israel show to the others who do not know God. We have to make people know that Christ is coming soon. By coming to church, by having our private prayers, by not neglecting to study the word of God or reading it. I like some parents, they will just let their kids to read to them before bedtime. That is good. You have to train the child the way he should go, so that when he grows, he will not depart from it. But if you neglect to do all those things, there may be a time when the child may grow, but you will try to even take him or her to church, he will tell you, no, I'm not ready. But if you start to take the child to the church now and then, he will grow to love it, so that when he come of age, come to the time of accountability, he will know what to do. So the Lord wants his people to have fellowship with him. But these children of Israel, because they were not doing that, they wasted so many years. And the Bible tells us from where I've read that they wasted 20 years. So for 20 years, there was a kind of blackout. God was not having fellowship with them. God did not have anything good to deal with them. So there were wars, there were troubles, and all those things in their lives. Before they realized that, no, what we are doing is not good. We have to go back to the Lord. We have to return to the Lord. That is what a sinner needs. You have to repent of your sins. You have done so many things. You have tried so many things. It is not working out good. The only thing that will help you is to come to Christ. He will direct your paths. He will help you. He will do everything possible to help you. If you don't have Christ, then you don't have anything. Amen. A friend of mine will always say, when you subtract God from something good, you get zero. When you start to cancel, God from good is zero. Without Christ, you are in crisis. You don't have anything good. So we have to repent. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, the 21st verse, repentance towards God and faith towards Christ. When you come to God, he will tell you, I have sent my son. I love the world. And he has come. He has died as an atoning sacrifice, a propitiation for you all. Go to him. Ask him for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if it comes to the time when you see that you are guilty, you see yourself that you are a sinner, you have done so many things to your life, and it is not helping you, come to Christ. Come to Jesus. He knows the way. He has gone to prepare the way for you and for me. If you turn to him, he will save you to his own glory. He wants you to come. That is why he came, to die on the cross. For without the shedding of Christ's blood, there will be no remission of sin. God did that so that he will forgive you if you come to Christ and ask him to forgive you. That is why he came. He came to do everything for you and for me. They wasted 20 years, but God still wants them to come to him. In the book of Acts, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, it tells you and me that all these years, the Lord winked his eyes on what people were doing. But now, he tells everybody to repent. For if you don't repent and come to him, there is a day coming that he is going to be rough with those who will reject him. Those who will not come to him. He is going to punish them. He is going to take them to hell. And I don't want you to go there. Hell is not meant for you. It is meant for Satan and his angels. I always say this in my language. In my language, which is Chi, Bonsam Jem is what we use to mean hell. Bonsam is Satan. Nejem is fire. So Bonsam Jem is what we call or we mean by hell. Bonsam Jem. That means it is for Bonsam and his angels, not for you and for me. But Satan is saying that he is not going there alone. He is going to take so many people along. And that is what he's doing. He's dragging people along with him by giving them so many things, by causing them to sin and to disregard what God has provided. God wants you to repent. God wants you to come to him. When you see the need that you are a sinner, when you see that you are guilty, you are at the place of helplessness, that you can't do anything about yourself. You need a Savior. And God has provided the Savior, the man Jesus Christ. You have to come to him, and he will be the person who will help you. Samuel told them to separate themselves from known sin. When you come to Christ, you have to confess your sin. Come to him and confess your sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive you all that you have done. And he will save you to his own glory. Just like when God called Jacob to go to Bethel, he called his family and asked them to cleanse themselves and also bring every known idol or every known thing that is not needed at Bethel. They brought it, or they brought them, and he buried them under an oak. Come and bury your sins at the cross. You don't have to take them anywhere. Bring them to Christ, and he will just what? Bury them for you. He will take them away from you. He will cleanse you from all the filthy things, because there's nothing good in us. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the 6th verse, that our righteousness is like filthy rags before him. When you come to him with all what you have messed that you call yourself, he will cleanse you. He will wash you with the blood and make you whole and make you clean, so that you will have fellowship with you. That is what Samuel asked them to do. They should come. They should separate themselves from all those bad things and come and confess. Confession means you have to say the sin as it is and just hate it. Just get out of it. Don't mess up with it anymore. Hate it. Come to Christ. Tell him what you have done. Let him know that you are a sinner, and he will be happy to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the people came, they confessed their sins, and then Samuel took a lamb. There is always a need of a sacrifice. Samuel has to atone for them. He sacrificed a lamb. In the book of John, the first chapter and the 29th verse, it tells us that Christ is the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, who takes away sin. He came on the cross to die and to cleanse us and to wash us with his blood. That is what he has done. He takes away sin. He is the only person who can forgive you of all that you've done wrong. He can forgive you. He can cleanse you with his blood. That is what Christ is for. Samuel interceded for them. We have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has come as our intercessor, for he is at the right hand of his Father, interceding for you and for me. And he's there for those who have come to him with their sins, he will be happy to forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Christ wants us to come so that he will help us. He sacrificed the lamb. And when you want to come to Christ, this is what you have to know. There is always be an enemy. Whilst they were at Mizpe, while Samuel was trying to help them, Philistines have gathered themselves to come and fight the people of Israel. I know that some people, when they want to come to Christ, in the time of Jesus, there were people surrounding him, and there is no way, like the woman who had an issue of blood. He couldn't get his way. He had the chance only to touch the hem of his garment. You have to come to him, no matter what will hinder you. It comes to a time for the blind Bartimaeus. When he saw that Christ wants him to come, he just threw away his robe so that he will be able to go to Christ. Sometimes you have to just let go anything that will hinder you from coming to Jesus Christ. You have to surrender yourself to him. Don't let anything come between you and Christ. Oh, my mom doesn't want me to come to church. My dad has warned me, you have to come to Christ. He is your father. He is your everything. God has told us to obey our parents, but we have to obey him first. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our everything. Though our mothers and our fathers will not be Christians or those who have given themselves to Christ, but still, going to heaven is not going to a football game. You have to do it yourself. Your mom can't do it for you. Neither your dad can also do it for you. It takes you. You have to come to him as you are and ask him to help you. And I know that he will be happy to help you. So whatever comes your way, just come to Christ. Let him know that you desire to come to him. The people of Israel, after 20 years in wastage, desire to come back to God. There is nobody who can help you, who can provide for you, who can do things for you and make you happy than the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody on this earth. Maybe somebody may try to help you, but the one who will not just forget you or abandon you, though our parents, our relatives sometimes abandon us, God will never abandon you. You have to come to him and he will help you. That is what Samuel asked the people of Israel to do. Come back to God. Let God know that you have repented. Come to him and he will forgive you and he will restore you. He will bring you back to where you should be. There are some people who need restoration, just like Peter, after denying Jesus Christ thrice that he had not even heard about him. Christ has to restore him to his call. And if you have even gone back, God, through Christ, will restore you back to your call, back to what he has assigned to you to do. Come to him. If you have even deserted your post, if you have gone back, come to him. Or if you are here and you have not come to Christ, you are doing your own things, you have tried every way, I'm telling you that it won't help you. It is only Jesus Christ who can help you, who can save you, who can do everything for you. And I like the way that they had a commemoration, a memorial. They took a stone and they called it Ebenezer. That means, hitherto has God led us. That is where God has brought us to. So I like this church name, Fairview Memorial. There should be always a memorial, something to remember God of, or to remember Christ of. That is how and why we have the memorial table. we have the Lord's Supper, which we attend every time, so that we will remind people of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That is what Christ wanted to have. Ebenezer. When we go to that, we get to that point, we have to remember that Christ is there for us. He has been our provider. And in future, he will be Jehovah Shammah. He will always be there for us. He is our everything. And if there is any problem, we have to come to him in prayer. We are going through all these things. Why? Because we refuse to come to him in prayer. Christ wants us to come to him. And when we come, he will provide for us. So there should be a memorial. There should be an Ebenezer in your life. The day that God saved you, you always remember that and you are happy. This is the place that God saved me. And you use that as a memorial, as a place where God saw the need to set you free from bondage of sin. And that is what they set that stone for. This is where God has led us. And when you reach that point, you have to look back and see where you are. When I look back in the dark continent of Africa, where I was doing my own things, idol worshiping and all those bad things in the sight of God, God saw the need. When I repented, when I saw that I am going straight to hell if I don't come to Christ, and I went to Jesus, I pleaded for so many months, and finally, on a Friday in the year 1984, I remember the Lord saved my soul. And I thank God for saving my soul and for just allowing me to do his work. Who am I? I am just an ordinary person, a sinner saved by grace. And I know that if you also come to him, he will also save you to his own glory. So that you will say that because he lives, I will also live. I don't think or fear what tomorrow may be. Because he lives, I know that things will work well with me. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Come to him. He is here. He is the Ebenezer. We have to remember that he has helped us to a certain point. There is no way that we have to go back. Let us continue to be aggro. Let us continue to do what he has instructed us. He has instructed us to go to all the world and just make disciples of people to himself. That is what he wants us to do. And that is what we have to do. If you can't go, just pray. If you can't go, whatever you do to help for those who can go, do it. And you are part of it. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to just disciple people, to bring people to himself. We have friends at work. We have friends in the neighborhood. We have friends in the community. We have to tell them about Jesus Christ. We have to tell them what God has done for them also. They have to come and enjoy it. I remember in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter and the 18th verse, God told Paul to go and open the people's eyes so that they will just see from light and darkness. They will come out from darkness to light, from the powers of Satan to God himself, so that he will forgive their sins and also give them inheritance. What he has already given to those who have surrendered themselves to him, he will also give them their share. That is what God sent Paul to do for the people of the Gentiles. That is what God wants us to do. We have to go and just tell them that if they don't have Christ, then they are in darkness. If they don't have Christ, then they are in a serious and dangerous situation. They have to come to him. Amos 4 verse 12 tells us, this is all that I've done. So prepare to meet your God. If you are not prepared today, I don't know when. Today is the day of salvation. No matter what the enemy, Satan, is trying to do, if you are here and you know that you are lost, come to Christ. Ask him to forgive you, and you'll be happy to do it. And God will just bless you if you do that. I thank you tonight for listening to me. I want to turn the service back to Brother Jerry Miller, and may God bless you.